Did you know that your gut is directly connected to your brain and can contribute to anxiety, stress, and depression, which, by the way, can also impact your sexual health? So here's my secret weapon for gut health, Just Thrive Probiotic. Now listen up. Just Thrive isn't just any ordinary probiotic. It is the only one that survives your stomach acid and reaches your gut 100% alive. All those others, the ones that come in fancy drinks or you gotta refrigerate, nope, that's not even a thing. This is the one. I've noticed significant changes to my overall health. Like, this might be TMI, but I'm way more regular and my skin is glowing. Think of Just Thrive like your personal gut gardener. It maintains the health of your gut by weeding out the bad bacteria that causes all those digestive issues and then replenishes the good, making it a total game changer for your digestion, your immune system, your skin, even your mood and sexual health. And if you want to check out my episode with Just Thrive's founder, Tina Anderson, we talk all about how gut bacteria plays a crucial role in your overall happiness, including your sex life. Because a healthy, balanced gut means less stress and more energy. So if you want to check it out, I'm offering a deal for my listeners. You can save 20% off site-wide at justthrivehealth.com with the promo code SEXWITHEMILY. That's 20% off on the probiotic that's truly changing lives and making waves in the wellness community. Everyone's talking about it. Don't just take my word for it. Try it for yourself. Go to justthrivehealth.com. Use promo code SEXWITHEMILY for 20% off. Imagine a toy so iconic it practically wrote the playbook for pleasure. Allow me to introduce or reintroduce you to the Magic Wand, aka the Cadillac of Vibrators. The Magic Wand Original is a trusted companion in the journey of joy, whether it's your first time chasing an orgasm or you're looking to give your partner a spine-tingling erotic massage. The Magic Wand should be your go-to with powerful rumbles and several different rhythms and patterns. It's no wonder the Magic Wand has scooped up accolades like Vibrator of the Year for decades. I'm so enamored with mine, I've customized my bedside table just to keep it within arm's reach at all times. But the magic doesn't stop with the original Magic Wand. The Magic Wand family has grown over the years, offering a variety of models to suit every lifestyle. Go cord-free with the Magic Wand Rechargeable. Embrace compact power without compromising intensity with the Magic Wand Mini. I love this mini. Or the Micro, which is just teeny tiny and really powerful. Or enjoy a range of sensations with the Magic Wand Plus. Each model delivers the same powerful orgasmic rumble that made the original a legend. So are you ready to experience the magic? Visit sexwithemily.com/magicwand and discover why the Magic Wand continues to enchant pleasure seekers around the globe. That's sexwithemily.com/magicwand. Magic Wand, more than just a vibrator. Thanks for listening to Sex with Emily. On today's show, I'm joined by Australian sex influencer Nadia Boccati to talk about what it really means to take control of your sexuality. Topics include, well, we've heard of fuckboys, but what does it mean to be a fuck girl? How to take your sexuality into your own hands and actually own it, whatever that looks like for you. What to do when your boyfriend is invited to his ex's wedding and you're not feeling so great about it. And ways to get your partner's head into the oral game. All this and more. Thanks for listening.
Look into his eyes. They're the eyes of a man obsessed by sex. Eyes that mock our sacred institutions. Bedroom eyes, they call them in a bygone day.
Hey, Emily, you got a boyfriend?
Because my man E here, he just got his heart broken. He thinks you're kind of cute.
A girl's gotta have her standards. Oh, my.
The women know about shrinkage.
Isn't it common knowledge?
What do you mean, like laundry? It shrinks?
Can we not talk about sex so much?
Are you kidding me?
Oh, my God, I feel so good.
Being bad feels pretty good.
But you know, Emily's not the kind of girl you just play with.
You're listening to Sex with Emily. We're talking about sex, relationships, and everything in between. For more information, check out sexwithemily.com, our robust and very informative website. And you can easily subscribe to the podcast. We love when you do that. Follow us on social media, at Sex with Emily, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. Also, you guys, big announcement. We officially have a brand new podcast cover. It was dated. We've had a few of them, and I'm so excited. So check that out. And in honor of that, we've got a contest for you. You can win amazing products from WeVibe, Womanizer, and Pure Lube. All you got to do, ready? Easy. Send a screenshot of you subscribing to the podcast and your review on iTunes to feedback@sexwithemily.com. Contest ends soon. That's March 20th. So get on it. Do it. I mean, only if you want some toys and more pleasure in life. Also, if you already subscribed, that's amazing. You can just take a picture of your review. We love it. Okay, hope you guys enjoy this interview with sex influencer Nadia Bocati. There's nothing quite like sinking your teeth into a good sandwich. But listen, carb guilt is real. I'm someone who's very invested in my health, and I like to get my carbs from oats and beans and fruits and not bread. But I love bread. So here's my hack. Thanks to Hero Bread, you can enjoy your favorite bready delights without the carb consequences. Hero Bread has turned those carby, empty calorie bread products into fluffy, delicious breads that boast 0 to 1 net carbs per serving, 0 grams of sugar, and are packed with loads of fiber and protein. The first time I tried their white bread, I was skeptical. Could it really taste good with such impressive nutritional stats? Well, I'm pleasantly surprised to say it absolutely does. The texture is just phenomenal. It's like this soft, airy, and it just toasts up like a dream. I've whipped up everything from grilled cheese to PB&J and even made enchiladas, wraps, and tacos with their tortillas. Each time, Hero Bread has been a game changer. And here's the kicker. Despite its light texture and great taste, Hero Bread fits perfectly into my health goals. It's been adding more fiber to my diet while keeping the sugar at bay. Whether I'm packing a picnic lunch, planning a road trip snack, which I often do, or prepping French toast for breakfast, Hero Bread is my go-to. So whether you're craving a classic sandwich, a burger, or a hearty bun, or even indulging in a low net carb croissant, Hero Bread is something for everyone. And I highly recommend checking their monthly small batch drops out so you can try goodies like the 1 gram net carb Hero Cheddar Biscuit and so much more. You won't believe what they have. So you ready to kick carb guilt to the curb? Head over to hero.co and snag 10% off your order with the code Emily. That's Emily at hero.co. I'm very excited to welcome my guest, Nadia Bocati. Hello. She's Hi. From Australia. She's an Australian sex positive media personality columnist. A self-confessed former fuck girl. I want to know what the hell that is. You can find her at Nadia Bocati, B-O-K-O-D-Y. We'll also put this in our show notes. She runs a website called shesaid.com. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm fangirling so hard right
now. You are. That's so fun. I'm so glad you're here.
Yeah, I love you and everything that you do. And I'm very much trying to, you know, do something similar over in Australia in terms of getting the whole sex positive vibes happening, because we are a little behind the eight ball over
it's
in Australia.
True. What happens? Like, why is it? You guys are behind the eight ball there in some ways. I feel like in the last few years, like to the podcast, we had this huge influx of Australian listeners.
Yeah, because I think Australians are actually desperate for, you know, content around sex and education around it, because we are actually so incredibly lacking in it. And I think it's a similar vibe in the UK. I've done some morning show type segments over in the UK, and it's very clear that there's still a lot of really conservative people over there. I did a segment on This Morning, which is a show over in the UK, and I was talking about the fact that I think masturbation should be included in sex ed, and I got so much hate on Twitter. People were calling me a pedophile, saying that I should be run over with a car, that they wanted to keep their children away from me. And I think people totally missed the point of what I was saying, but it also, it does show the fact that there is a huge need, you know, just for more, I guess, exposure to these topics, because people are so uneducated. They're sort of, you know, missing the whole point that, you know, kids learning about their own bodies is going to keep them safer. It's not stealing away their innocence. If anything, it's right, potentially protecting it for longer. So, yeah, I'm just really trying to, you know, push that in Australia. And I think that is why, you know, there are a lot of Australians that are actually really hungry for the sort of content that you're doing.
Well, I'm glad you're doing it there. I mean, we saw that here too. We need to teach masturbation in schools. I feel the same way. So, I mean, but sounds like you really do need it in Australia. So I'm so glad that you are there fighting that fight. But you have to tell me, what's a fuck girl, please?
Well, so do you guys say, do you
fuck
use
boy.
The
term?
You say
yes.
Fuck boy.
Yes.
Right. Okay. So, yeah.
I want to be a fuck girl. I want to know. Maybe. I don't know. Maybe I have been.
I think I am one.
Jamie is probably.
I reckon she is, yeah. No, a fuck girl is just, I guess it's with the whole, you know, sex positive vibe that I'm trying to promote. I did quite a popular column over in Australia, and it was about my adventures as a fuck girl. And basically I was married, and I went through a divorce, and I went through my hoe phase, and I really just kind of discovered myself sexually, and I discovered this whole scene of fuckboys and the fuckboy culture, and I thought, well, why can't a woman be a fuck girl? Yeah. And why can't I do what the guys are doing? And when I talked about it, like to girlfriends and stuff, people were so shocked. And so I sort of just ran with it. And I was like, I'm going to be a fuck girl.
Right. Okay. So meaning, let me get this straight. So you would go out with people and you would say, or did you say like, I'm a fuck? Like, were you like, I'm just going to sleep with you tonight and this is going nowhere?
No, because I think the thing is with the fuckboy culture is that it's really about guys not being clear through their communication about what they want and kind of stringing multiple girls along. And I think there's a level of arrogance to that with guys thinking that girls aren't doing it back. Right. And a lot of guys that I had been with during my hoe phase or my fuck girl phase ended up reading my column. I didn't tell them I was a sex columnist, but they'd obviously, you know, found it online and were so shocked. They were like, oh, I thought, you know, I was the only one you were seeing. And I was like, well, you were only sending me one text every 3 weeks. Like, do you really think with that level of attention, I wasn't going out and fucking other guys during that time? Like, I have needs too. Like, so I think it's about just showing, you know, like I had lots of men on my speed dial and I would, you know, call up multiple guys and see who was available first for sex. And I just, you know, it was just like, I guess using men for a little bit of fun, not that I endorse using people, but it was kind of like, I guess the focus of the column was showing the way that women are becoming more empowered to do the same sort of stuff that guys are doing. And I think what I saw in the Sydney dating scene in Australia is that a lot of men seem to think that they have a woman sort of on a string and that she's just sitting around waiting for them at home for that text that's coming once every 2 weeks for the booty call text. And so I was like, and I did what most women did. I would put all my eggs into the basket of one man and I would wait for his text and I would, you know, try to be patient and all of that. And I realized like I can be out getting some other dick in this time.
Right, exactly. Why am I in between texts? I'm going dick shopping.
Yeah, exactly.
I get it. Cause it's like, it is true that I always say like when you're dating, like I think it's important to date around. Like I think that we shouldn't just settle for one person. We sleep with them once and then make all these assumptions. If you don't have the talk with someone, I would say you should assume that they're dating other people.
Absolutely.
If you don't talk about exclusivity, assume there are other dicks, there are other vulvas in their life. So I think that that is great that you went out and did that. But here's my question. So in all of your, like I read your column about a week of seven one-night stands, which I gotta be honest with you, sounds exhausting. But I kind of like the idea. I might do it like over a month. But what I think is good, great about dating around a lot of people is that on the flip side, what we do is we date one person and we like as women because we get attached sometimes to the orgasm and we wait and then we're like, well, I had great sex with the person so we might as well commit and then take a year to figure out all the reasons why we don't work or something, or maybe we do but mostly we don't. But if you're dating a lot of people back to back and even sleeping with them, and I think it's good to be honest that you are sleeping with other people, but then you get to kind of compare and see what you like or at least learn how to communicate, because that's the huge part that we're missing is that we often don't know how to communicate what we need. And what I liked about your column was that you said, well, on day five or something, you're like, well, then I like the way the girl touched me, the guy touched me here, and he touched me here. And then I kind of got all that with the partner on like the fifth night. And,
yeah.
Which is such a great way of learning, because it wasn't just like 1 year, it was one person the next year.
It's, yeah, and I
talk more about that.
I think that's why like a hoe phase or a slut phase or whatever you want to call it is actually really important. And it sounds very superficial on the face of it, but it actually is a way that you kind of tap into your own sexuality and sexual sort of identity, I guess, as a woman. And for me, you know, I did what a lot of you know, women do. I had, you know, fallen in love in my early 20s, went straight out. We were married after 6 months. I was only 25. We were in a marriage for 7 years. You know, I to this day, I could not say anything bad about my ex-husband. He was a great guy, but just, you know, I think we were both pretty miserable in the relationship because I wasn't emotionally ready for it. I didn't know what I wanted and I was trying to be something that I wasn't. And we made each other miserable. And I realized that, you know, I didn't know what I wanted sexually. I'd been with essentially one guy for 7 years and just trying to fit that mold of being a wife and what I thought that should be, that I sort of surprised myself. It wasn't long after I split with my husband that I essentially went out and just fucked a random guy in a hotel room. We were actually having a girls' night and we had a hotel room booked. And I was sitting next to one of my girlfriends at work and I had tears in my eyes and she said, are you okay? I said, look, this is going to sound really weird, but I am literally so sexually frustrated because, you know, the marriage had obviously been sexless for many months before we'd split. I said that I literally feel like emotional, like I'm going to burst into tears just from how badly I need sex. And she was like, and it kind of started up the whole, I guess, fuck girl phase. She was like, why don't you just call up a guy and ask if he's DTF? And I was like, what's DTF? She's like, down to fuck. And I was like, wait, I can do that? She's like, guys do it to us all the time. She's like, you met a guy on Tinder the other night. Just call him. I'm like, but he doesn't know me. He's going to think that's weird. We've only met once. She's like, yeah, you can do it. And so she was like, just go to the hotel early. Us girls will hang downstairs in the bar and we'll meet you for the girls' night a couple of hours late. So I was like, okay. And it was just the greatest experience of my life. It wasn't that the sex was amazing. You know, looking back on the sex, if anything, it was probably fairly mediocre, but it was more just the release of everything that came out. And I almost feel so sorry for the poor guy because I burst into tears violently at the end of the sex. And he was like, did I hurt you? Are you okay? He's just probably thinking this woman who I don't know has just invited me to a hotel room, basically had like really ravenous sex and then burst into tears.
Right. Well, I think, well, yeah, I mean, sex can be emotional. We cry after orgasm. We laugh after orgasm. It is emotional too, though, because you were like, I'm finally going to get what I want and yes. I'm going to try it. So, but what I like about it is taking the term where like, fuck girl, but more like, how about we're just experimental? Like, to me, that's so healthy. And like, I love, I think that's a great example for women to know that it's okay to go out and get your pleasure, but I also like the part of it of being honest that you're seeing other people, because most likely they are too, and then to use condoms and all that stuff, use protection, but to then practice I'm not just saying to like get your numbers up, because you could have sex with 100 people and still have bad sex or not satisfying sex. For me, if you're going to go through the practice of sleeping with a lot of people, which I think it's important, by a lot, you say whatever that means to you, but like figure out, because that's how we figure out what we like. It's like trying a bunch of different foods to figure out what kind of foods we love. Like, you can't know if you've only been with one person or two, but whatever, you can't know what you can't possibly know. You can do a lot of masturbation, which is great prep for that, but you can't know what you like with a partner unless you've experimented.
And I think there's a lot of security, a strange kind of security, which I talked about in the column, about sleeping with strangers, because I sort of felt that emancipation of knowing I'm never going to see this person again. And with my husband, I would think, oh, what if he thinks, you know, strangely of me because I asked for this particular thing in bed. I was worried about how it would affect how he thought about me. Whereas when I was having a one-night stand, I didn't care. I'm like, I'm never going to see this guy again. Like, right. I'm just going to go for it and who cares?
Right, exactly. There is a certain thing like that when you're traveling abroad or you know you're never going to see him again, that we can have this freedom because we don't care. And it's like, then how do you bring that same carefreeness into real life? Because I used to do that too. I used to travel a lot. And I was like, I was saying this the other night, mm-hmm. like whenever I was abroad, I'm like, just sleep. It doesn't matter. Like, yeah. I'm going to Laos, you're going to Vietnam, see you now. but I get it. There is a certain freedom to that. Absolutely. Should we take this call, Jane? That's a good call.
Yes. Yeah, so we have Susan, who's 52 from California on the line, and she wants to know how to guide her daughters away from fuckboys.
That's a good question. Hey, Susan.
Hi. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Of course. I think it's a great question. How do you, what's going on?
Yeah, I've got 5 daughters.
Oh, my God.
My younger 2. And my one daughter, the older of the 2, was raped. And so she's working through owning her sexuality. I got them vibrators when they were 14 and 15. I support masturbation. I support going out and finding your sexuality. She's finding hers, but what she's finding is she keeps running into these boys that they're fuck boys, and she doesn't know how to get what she needs out of them. And
right,
how old is she? Her own identity and power.
Okay, she's 20. I mean, here's the thing: hormones. Guys at that age, I deal with this with a lot of my friends' kids who are like 19, 20, freshman, sophomore college. Like, you just. Not everyone's looking for a relationship. They might kind of be fuckboys. They haven't had enough experience on the planet to not be. They are ruled by their testosterone. So if she's
looking, as they should be.
Right. So, but the boys are too. You know what I mean? So like right. The boys are. So what I'm saying is like, you know, maybe her picker's broken and she's attracted to the guys who are like really smooth and send us the texts who are like, hey, babe. And like women get sucked into the great texters. And usually the guys got that smooth language down. And I just know because I have a lot of friends in college that that's what happens. So maybe you tell her to wait a little bit, find out more about them before jumping into sex. But I'd have to say that the majority, and I don't say all, but many guys that age are sort of going to be more like that?
I don't even know if it's an age thing. I think it's just the modern FOMO culture of, you know, Tinder, you can kind of keep swiping. And so guys are like, I need to move on to the next girl. I think it's more that guys, they will show you who they are. Don't let them tell you who they are. I'm this, I'm that. They will show you. If your daughters can watch out for the signs, how often is he texting you? Is he texting you once a week? He's shown you he's a fuckboy. So move on. The quicker you can see the signs and cut those guys out, the better. It's when you let those guys string you along that it's going to lead to heartbreak.
Yeah.
Well, and here's the thing is that was what I was taught myself when I was younger. But this generation, this culture, it's an IGM guy. I get mine first.
Well, right. This is the whole education thing. So then you're,
Well, yeah. No, I want her to be able to go out and fuck. Go out and fuck. Own your sexuality. Have a great time. If you know you're with a fuck boy. Then just know that. Say, see you later, like you're talking about doing it in another country.
She's got to get out of it.
If she's going to do it here. Be it, and then let go.
Right. Well, that's the thing. She can't get... Here's the thing, and I think you're right, that no matter how much we tell women, I always say, you're not there for their pleasure. Like, I think for women, we're pleasers, and we're like, I want him to like me, so I'm going to give him a blowjob. You tell him, like, I'm not going down on you until you go down on me. Like, she's got to learn, like, I'm going to get mine. And when she's not turned on and she's not aroused, that's when she leaves. And so hopefully she's watching her alcohol intake and drugs, because that's when we make less good choices. Is. But that's all it is.
No. Like, she's really cool about
And
that.
A lot of these guys have to be trained. Like, they probably don't know. They only know how to be selfish lovers. Like, they haven't been trained in a way to not be. So I think it's so right that she, like, has to look for the signs and have to learn what she deserves. And it sounds like you've done a really good job of telling her, but now she has to experience it and know that it's okay to leave a room that doesn't feel comfortable. And to say to guys, and I think that men want to know, a guy at 20 doesn't know what the hell he's doing. And the way I was raised was,
not at all.
I assumed they knew because I didn't know. I was like, well, they must know. I don't know anything. But they don't. So they'll appreciate it. They'll appreciate her saying, you know what? I'm not quite turned on yet. Maybe you could move your finger like this. Maybe you could make out with me a little more, kiss my neck. Like, she could practice asking for what she wants and then see how they respond. And if she doesn't, she's got to get clear on what is the thing she wants and what's going to feel good. And when it doesn't, leave.
I think that's a great idea for taking her sexual power back as well, that she's actually asking for what she wants and identifying it. Because like you say, especially with one night stands, and from my own experience, it is like something that you're giving to the man. And, you know, it should be just as much about her pleasure as it is about his.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, both should be pleased. But yeah, and there's a great book called She Comes First by Ian Kerner. God, what was it? Said his 10-year anniversary.
I bought it for her.
You
and
did? You bought it for her? I'm so glad. But
yes,
really,
I got it. I love it. I love the book.
It's such a good book, and it's so true. Like, she comes... Guys, just tell... If you have sons right now, buy them this book. She Comes First. You're going to come. Your heart, it's going to happen. But when you learn that, like, oh, like, they just have never been told this, Susan. So it sounds like you're on the right track, you know? So just keep talking to her.
Yeah, I hope so.
Yeah. I mean, she's going to have to learn some lessons.
It's amazing.
What'd you say? Excuse me? Oh.
I said thank you, and I love your show. It is amazing. Oh. I can't get enough of it, and I wish that I could, like, listen to it when it's not on the time slot. Because sometimes I just go in my car just to listen to you.
Oh, Susan, you can.
Have, like, podcast?
Well, first of all, thank you. Yeah, so here's the great thing. SiriusXM has an on-demand. So if you have it in your car, I don't know that a lot of people know this, but you can download their app for free. And my episodes, like, 8 episodes are available. But also, like, the last 8, and you can listen to it on your phone. But I also have about 500 podcasts. I've been doing a podcast for 14 years. And it's on iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, Spotify. And you could literally listen to them for the next year and you wouldn't run out of podcasts. So check those out.
Oh my
you can
God,
subscribe.
That is so great. I would do that. Thank
you. Yeah, awesome. Okay, Susan, stay in touch. Let me know how it goes. 5 daughters. I'm sure there's going to be some more questions. Thank you for calling. Great to hear from you. You can call us 888-947-8277. Okay, Nadia. So what else? Okay, so now, how's your sex life now? What stage are you in now?
I would say I'm in a really good place right now. I'm in a relationship. I've been in a relationship for the last couple of years. And I think I'm in a much, I guess, healthier, happier relationship because I'm in a place where I sort of own my sexual identity more and I know what I want and I'm not afraid of asking for what I want and I have that clear communication with my partner. And yeah, that's why I think it's so important for all women to sort of go through that phase. And actually, I am a big believer that it does begin at a young age with masturbation. And so I love that the woman that just called in said that she actually got her daughter's vibrators. Like, that is so cool.
Yeah.
I think because I write so openly about sex, I have a lot of people, even though I'm not a therapist or anything like that, but a lot of people will open up to me and they'll send me emails and things telling me, you know, details about their sex lives and asking questions. And it made me really sad. I had a 17-year-old girl contact me online and she said, I want to know if there's something wrong with me, if I'm a pervert. And she said basically while she was out, her dad had gone through her room, as, you know, parents sometimes do. He'd found her vibrator and instead of discreetly putting it back and pretending like he'd never been there, he basically exposed it, let her know he'd found it, like confronted her and shamed her for it and said, you know, you're too young to be doing this, and confiscated it. And she wanted to know if she was a pervert. I said, not only are you not a pervert, but your poor dad, who probably genuinely believes from his own educational background that he's protecting his daughter and doing the right thing, you have been safely discovering your body in the comfort of your own home in your own time with no pressure, and now your option to do that is going to be through partnered sex, which has a whole lot more emotional implications, physical implications, and your dad has literally sort of thrown you out there to that. And, you know, he probably believed that he was protecting her, and that's why we need to talk about this stuff and have more education around it, because it took me, you know, I'm in my mid-30s now, and it took me this long and going through a marriage to just now be in a happy, healthy sexual relationship. Yeah. And, you know, a lot of it is because I didn't understand so much about sex, because you don't get given that through sex ed.
No, not at all. I'm so glad you're there. Maybe you could do, I mean, I feel like sex education is just, we need it so badly. And it sounds like in Australia as well, educating the parents and the kids. And that makes me sad. I'm so glad she reached out to you, because that could have just, for life, she could have been like, oh my God, this is what happens. There's one infraction that happens. Someone walks in on you masturbating. Your parents find your toys. You're told that you're a bad lover. And then it sticks with you. You just need one negative message around sex. And so I love that she was able to reach out to you and do that and tell you. And you're right. Like, oh, mad dad makes me so mad.
Yeah. And I feel for the dad, because he obviously believed he was protecting his daughter. And, you know, that was the outrage that I had when I did the masturbation, when I was talking about including masturbation in sex ed on that TV segment, was people saying, you know, you're trying to age children too quickly. You're trying to steal their innocence. Let them be children. And I think these people genuinely believe that they're protecting children. But the reality is, I mean, you guys all know from the statistics that kids are having sex. So we have two choices. One is to bury our head in the sand and just pretend like it's not happening. It's still going to happen, and there's going to be, you know, besides unwanted pregnancy and STDs, this is why the Me Too movement has come about, is because women are only just now reflecting on sexual experiences from 10 plus years ago and going, wait a minute, that actually was a bit rapey or a bit wrong, or that was actually assault. And I didn't know that, because I just thought sex was something where I just laid there and let a guy do things to me. So if we don't talk about these things and we don't let girls understand what pleasure feels like for their own body, how are they? There was a really interesting study came out. Peggy Orenstein, she does a TED talk about it. And 30% of young women that are having sex, when they're having sex, they're in pain. Yeah. But they are still having sex in pain. They don't want to say anything about it, because either A, they just think that's normal and that's what sex should feel like, or B, they feel that it's impolite or wrong, or it's not about them, it's about their partner.
Right, exactly. Because we're pleasers, and we think that how would we know any otherwise? And you're right, like 80% of women do experience pain at some point in their lives, and they totally normalize it. And it doesn't have to be that way at all. Women don't have to experience. I love her book, Girls. I think Peggy Orenstein wrote a great book called Girls, that if you are a parent or you have girls, you're an aunt, anything with girls in your life, you should read a book. It's a great read.
She's brilliant.
She is brilliant. I mean, it's so true that we just, we're not treating our girls, we're not teaching enough to our girls.
And we don't realize we're actually creating situations for them that are putting them in harm's way, you know. And I know we're not intending to do that, but this is why the Me Too movement is happening. If we don't talk openly about this stuff, girls are going to continue to be, and not just young girls, but women are going to continue to put themselves in situations. I had another young woman contact me. She was only 21 and she was convinced that she was broken. She'd been in a relationship for 2 years with her boyfriend, and she was convinced she was broken, and she was looking up all these pills obsessively online because she couldn't orgasm. And I just asked her a couple of simple questions. Again, I said, like, I'm not a sex doctor or anything, but just a couple of quick questions, like, are you having foreplay and all this? They're not having foreplay. He's just going straight to penis and vagina sex. And they've been having sex for 2 years, so, you know, it probably takes a little bit more to get aroused. And I just said to her simply, Do you know that it takes most women up to 20 minutes to achieve orgasm during partnered sex? Yeah. Not during masturbation, but during partnered sex. And she burst into tears. Yeah. She was like, thank you. I've just realized I'm not broken. And actually, if anything, my boyfriend should be trying harder.
Exactly. Right. Good. But that's so true.
No one had told her that simple fact.
I'm so glad that you are the voice down under right now, helping all these people. They need to know this.
No pun intended.
No, exactly. Go under, down under, all the things. Okay. I've got our five quickie questions for you. You ready?
Yes.
Nadia Bocardi, biggest turn on?
Oh, biggest turn on. I like someone who's really passionate, who has like, will just light up when they're talking about a topic. I think that's super sexy.
Biggest turn off?
Biggest turn off would probably have to be a smoker. I just can't kiss a smoker. It's just not for me.
What's your biggest dating deal breaker?
I guess someone that doesn't genuinely invest time into showing, you know, me that they want to actually emotionally invest into me.
Something random that turned you on.
Something random that turns me on. We have in Australia, we call tradies. I don't know what you call them over here, but it's like, you know, the men on construction sites.
Oh, construction workers.
And like, as soon as I see their fluorescent uniform, I'm just like, damn, straight away.
We have that here. What's the sexiest body part to you?
Oh, the sexiest body part on a man for me is definitely the arms. Like a guy just like reaching up to get something with a nice set of arms will just, that's me gone.
Okay, I love it. Okay, thank you so much for being here. It was so fun.
Thank you so much for having me.
Oh my God, it's a pleasure. And keep fighting the good fight. I love it. SheSaid.com and at Nadia Bocardi on Instagram and Twitter.
Thank you.
Thank you for being here. All right, guys, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to get into your emails. All right, guys, love answering your questions. It's why I'm here on the planet. If you want a question answered to the show, go to my website, sexwithemily.com, click the Ask Emily tab, fill out the short form, and do it that way. Or just email us, feedback@sexwithemily.com, no matter how you do it. Include your name, your age, where you live, and how you listen to this show. Thanks, guys. Okay, Jamie, you want to read up the emails?
Of course. This first one comes to us from Megan, who's 28 in California. She writes, hi, Emily. My boyfriend and I have been dating for a couple months, but have known each other for years. His ex-girlfriend that he's friends with is getting married this year, and he's going to be invited. I find it extremely weird to go to the wedding, and I feel like he shouldn't. It may make or break our relationship. A wedding is intimate, and I can't understand why he'd want to go or why she would want him there unless they still have feelings for each other. They've been broken up for 7+ years, but shouldn't they just move on and live their lives separately already? Confused and saddened.
Okay, Megan, this is a really good question because I totally understand what that feels like. That it seems to you, or maybe in your experience, you haven't been friends with an ex. But it's actually true that men and women, anyone can break up. And if it wasn't, and they both healed and they realized their friendship was more than the love, but they realized they want, you know, someone that you're really close with. Sometimes when you can't be romantic with them, they become friends and they can become best friends. I have many close guy friends that I would consider like family to me that I have dated. So understand that notion. And I think that maybe this hasn't come across your life before that you've seen this. That said, I understand why that doesn't feel good to you. But I also think if she's inviting him to her wedding and they broke up for 7 years, I don't think she's doing it because she's trying to get back together with him. So I don't think that you're concerned is, you know, you said, shouldn't they just move on and live their life separately? This is why I think I needed to explain to you the relationship that can happen. If they have a real connection, they shouldn't move on. She is moving on. She's getting married and she's saying, I honor our friendship. And the part that you played in my life 7 years ago, I still care about you. Come to my wedding. So that's how I see it. However, I do think you should be invited to the wedding as a guest. So if he's allowed to bring a guest and they're really, truly friends, been a while since they broke up, I think you should go. And if he can't be a guest, if he can't bring a guest, I see why this might be a little bit more disturbing, but not because I think he's getting back together with her. It's because I think that your attachment to him and the insecurities you're having right now, that's going to make you feel better if you actually get invited. And if it's really going to make or break your relationship, I hope you're honest with him. But if he doesn't get it, maybe he's not the one for you in this place. But I got to tell you, I understand the friendship thing. And if he can't bring you, because my other thing was, I thought long and hard about this. People have weddings sometimes and they don't want people there they've never met. They want their truest, their ride or dies, people they love. And so if you guys have been together for 3 months, couple months, and he's been friends with her for 10 years, whatever, I'm going to be honest, he might choose her. So you got to take a deep look inside and see if you really like, you know, you've only been together a few months. I don't think you have the claims on him for, to make an ultimatum right now. All right. That's what I got for you. But definitely be honest with them and let them know what's going down and how you're feeling.
All right.
All right.
This next one here is from Jacob, who's 19 in Texas. Hi, Emily. I've been listening to your show for a while and I really enjoy learning about everything you discuss. Here's my situation. My girlfriend and I have been together for about 9 months now. We started having sexual desires early in the relationship, but this is her first relationship and she wants to wait for the full-on penetration sex until she's ready. I respect this and we go on with oral and hand stuff. Usually I am the one going down on her, whether it's her breast, neck, down there, or wherever she wants me to. When I want her to go down on me, I have to ask her, and when I do, she seems uncomfortable with it. I do clean very often, especially when I know we're going to have alone time, and even put scented lotion and lube to make it easier for her. Even when she works up the nerve for it, she has the death grip you've mentioned, constantly asks if I'm going to finish soon, and doesn't always get the job done. I've tried talking to her, but when I do, she gets discouraged and upset, and it makes me feel guilty, so I don't bring it up anymore. Is there another way I can approach this to her? And if I do, is there any tips or resources for her to go down on me and ways I can improve going down on her? Thank you for everything. I love the show.
Oh, thank you for emailing, Jacob. I really like this scenario you've laid out for me because it brings up a lot of things. First of all, welcome to beginner sex. You are both, you're young, you're 19. You guys are both learning how to have sex, how to talk about what you want. And so what I see here, you might be the first penis she's ever had in her mouth. She might not have given blowjobs before. It might be very overwhelming for her. She, and I can tell you from a lot of women, we start out, we want to do it right. We're so sensitive. If we get any feedback around sex, especially when we're young, that it just, that's why she freaks out when you give her feedback. I'm sure she would love to get to know what to do to make you feel good. I think it's, you know, sweet that you're like, I shower and clean. I think you're fine. I don't think it has anything to do with hygiene. That is an issue in some relationships. But what I think it is fear and really wanting to do it, but not knowing where to start. So that's kind of where we're at here. I think that she is discouraged because you bring it up in a way that, not on purpose, that she feels threatened. Okay. So you don't know what you don't know. She hasn't done it a lot. She won't know what she's doing. So I think recognizing that you are both learning about your bodies and sex and that you want to figure out together what makes you both feel good. And you could even like acknowledge maybe that you both would like to learn more together. So I think a cool thing would be mutual masturbation. I'm going to hope she masturbates. She might feel very uncomfortable by this. I feel like she might not be like, yay. But why it's cool is because you can show her, like sometimes mutual masturbation, you're both touching each other. Like you're touching yourselves and you're looking and it's hot because you're learning from looking, like you're seeing what your partner does and it's just a turn on. Or you could show her how you want to be touched and then she can show you. But I feel like, you know, masturbation, doing it together, seeing how she turns herself on would be great. We also have plenty of tips at our site. We have a blog called Enthusiastic Blowjob Tips for Better Head. We've got a lot of oral sex tips for you to improve upon going down on her. I mean, really, it's about slowing down and having an honest conversation. If you've been listening, you know that communication is a lubrication. You know this, Jacob, and you know by saying, you know what? I see you get frustrated when I bring it up, but it's only because I'm trying to explain, but I haven't done this much before either. So let's go on a sexual adventure together. Let's try to figure out what we could do to make us both have better sex and feel more pleased and have more orgasms. And just to take it down a notch, make it more playful, and that you're in it together so she doesn't feel threatened. Mm. And you guys have great sex. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. Good. So many good questions.
I'm glad he's getting this in at 19 too.
Well, that's the thing. It's like, oh, okay, I get it. Like these things, reading this, it's like there's a lot to pack in because it's like we forget that we didn't know once. We don't know yet. And
yeah, and then now he's going to be able to go into his 20s with a plethora of knowledge.
Exactly. That's what I want for all of you.
This next email is from Marshall, 35, in California. Hi, Emily. I'm about 5 months into a relationship with a woman after getting divorced about a year ago. Things are going well overall, albeit slow since my girlfriend is finishing up a doctorate and it limits how much we can see each other during the week, 1 to 2 times max. Although we enjoy each other's company and the sex is good, it does appear as if there's a bit of an evenness in the love slash affection we feel for each other right now. I'm further along in my feelings for her, and she still needs more time to get to know me to dive in. My question to you is the idea of people falling in love at the exact same time less common than movies and TV would have us believe? Should I check myself and slow down to my partner's pace to avoid getting hurt? She's rushed into relationships before, so part of me hopes that she's purposely going slower, but it's hard not to feel insecure that after 5 months, she's still deciding if she and I are a match. Thanks for your advice.
All right, Marshall. Okay. Here's what I think about it. I loved my question to you as he says, is the idea of people falling in love at the exact same time less common than movies and TV would have us believe? Absolutely. I mean, it's way less common. In fact, all the stuff we see in the movies, it makes love and sex seem so easy. You meet, there's some way reason you can't get together, and then you finally get together, and then you fall into bed and you have amazing sex, and it's just there's no foreplay, there's no lube, there's no condoms, there's no problems. That is not real. Real movies are not real life. So here's the thing. I want to check in with you about a few things here. This is the facts, right? You've been together 5 months. She's working on a doctorate. I can tell you from someone who worked on a doctorate, it's a lot of time. So 1 to 2 a week, plus she's working on a doctorate as a full-time job. Sex is good. It's been 5 months. So I think that no one falls in love at first sight. And I don't even believe that you're in love after 5 months. You're still in the lust phase, because I'm certain that there's still more that you actually need to learn about each other to make sure that you're both actually compatible. So I actually like her for you, Marshall. I like that she's slowing you down. I like that she's not honest that she's sure. And I'd argue that you can't totally be sure yet either. I think that if you really work with her on, like, you know, right now it sounds like there's a great connection, I would not force her. I'd give her the space of 1-2 a week. But when you're together, start to pay attention to, like, ask questions and listen. And like, do you guys share the same values? Do you like living your life in the same way? Do you picture your future the same? Do you want kids, religion? What does she do on the weekends? You mentioned something here about affection. What if she's not really affectionate? And I also thought about your love languages. If you're one of your love languages is touch, and you brought up she's not as affectionate, she might never be affectionate, and you might never really know how into she is by touch. So find out. Do you like touching? Do you like, you know, what is your thing? Or, you know, find out her love languages. Like, try to move this a little deeper while you're waiting for her, which I don't. I think you both have to together decide if you're going to be together. So I think this is a great thing. And slow it down a little bit. Keep talking and really take a step back and be like, am I lusty? Am I desperate to get into a thing, or can you slow down and go at a pace that's good for both of you? And then make a good decision. Is it love? I like that question.
Mm-hmm. It is. It's really good. But I think people are constantly falling in love at different times, and it's not as clear cut as movies always make it seem.
And in the movies, we get them falling in love and they're so happy, but we never see them like 6 months later after they moved in together and had to, you know, share a closet.
Mm.
Whatever happens, or a bathroom. Right. Okay.
All right. This next one comes to us from Alicia, 24 in Illinois. Hi, Emily. I'm so happy you discovered your podcast, as it helped me become more confident in talking about sex with my partner. I'm 24 and engaged to my partner of 6 years. A couple years into our relationship, we decided to switch from using condoms as our method of protection to just birth control. Every time he finishes inside me, I always have to hold the semen in my hands and walk to the bathroom, then wipe it all away. Is this normal? Again, in movies and TV shows, most couples roll over and just go to sleep without having to clean up.
Ugh.
This has been something I've always been curious about and would love any information to see if this is something other couples that don't use condoms experience. Mm. Thanks.
Okay, Alicia. Yes, in movies and TV, they don't say, babe, I want to fall into post-coital bliss, but let me go pee first in the bathroom and get rid of it. That doesn't happen either. So I think that this is totally normal. This is what happens. If someone comes inside of you, it's really important, you guys. I mean, you don't have to rush up the second after someone ejaculates inside of you, but I would say less than 30 minutes, get up, make sure you go to the bathroom. You want to clear out any bacteria that might have gotten inside of you. That's how we prevent getting UTIs or bladder infection. Have wipes near the bed to help you hold it in. You probably don't have to, I don't know, sometimes it drips, but I never really have to cup my hand. I mean, yeah, you got to cup your hand. Or take some wipes with you to the bathroom. I love having baby wipes by the bed. And I also have a towel by you to wipe it off. But that's what happens. They just don't show you the sexy bathroom strut with semen coming out of your vagina in the movies.
Yeah, they would. They got to cut that part out.
That's sex, right? But I love that you're going to the bathroom and wiping it up right after, cleaning up after.
Okay. This last one comes to us from Ryan, who's 42 in Toronto. Hi, Emily. My wife and I have been married with kids for 13 years. 5 years ago, she cheated on me with her boss. I found out and confronted them. She said she stopped and we tried to move past it. We both didn't want our kids to have separated parents, so we stayed together. We both have moved on from the past, but now she refuses to have sex with me. She claims that she has lost her sex drive. I feel that it's more. Am I wrong? We haven't had sex for going on 3 years. We don't sleep in the same bed since my daughter tends to sleep there. This has pushed our relationship and intimacy to the end of non-existent. How do I get my wife to want intimacy and drive her libido back up? When I do ask, all she ever says is, I'll let you know when.
All right. Okay. Here's the thing, Ryan. In reading this, there's a lot more going on here than just you guys not having sex. First of all, when someone cheats in a relationship, when there's infidelity, you know it takes a while to build that trust. I'm getting the sense that you know, she stopped, we tried to move past, and you stayed for the kids. And I'm not sure that you guys did that work around really rebuilding trust, why the affair happened. You know, this takes therapy. This takes another outside person helping you guys get back to, you know, wherever you were, or get to a better place. Because you said you both moved on and now she's refusing to have sex with you. She claims she lost her sex drive. It's more. Yes, there's definitely, definitely more. You're not having, she can't just bail on sex. She can't say to you, I'll let you know when my sex drive comes back. I mean, I understand that you are together with her for the kids, but if kids can feel when there's tension in the home, they see that you're not sleeping in the same bedrooms. They see that mommy's never affectionate with daddy. So if you want this relationship to work, it's not about getting her libido back up. It's about the two of you getting into some therapy right now, marriage counseling, and figuring out how to enhance your intimacy by communication first. Untangling this, what happened with the affair and the infidelity and the sex stuff. But I don't think your wife's going to send you a text one night and be like, guess what? My libido's back. There's more work to do here, Ryan. So do the work now. It sounds like you didn't do it when the affair happened, but now you guys have got to figure out, are you compatible? Does she want to work on it? It's not fair for a partner to opt out of the sex and just say, I'm never going to do it. It's both of you working on it, working on the relationship. So I think you can do that, Marshall. Figure out if this is a healthy relationship for both of you and your family. Thanks for the email, Ryan. Thanks, Jamie.
Of course.
Awesome show. Thanks, everyone, for listening. I hope you enjoyed it. Thank you to my amazing team, Ken, Samantha, Julia, Michelle, producer Jamie, and Michael. Was it good for you? Email me, feedback@sexwithemily.com.